First Baptist Church of Redmond, August 4th, 2013, that the world may believe.
Thank you very much. The title of our message is that the world may believe. And that was the surprising part as I began to work with this passage of scripture. That phrase jumped up on me, that the world may believe. And if you have your Bible, we're going to look at John chapter 17, verses 20 through 26. Particular phrases, and there are repeated, so as we look at them, I'm going to start off by having us examine those words. Those who will believe in me through their word. If you remember, this chapter 17 is a prayer of Jesus. It's the longest prayer of Jesus recorded for us in the Bible. Jesus prayed this way, knowing that people were listening, but it is a real prayer by Jesus Christ. In the first few verses, he prayed about himself, concerning himself, because he had come to glorify the Father, and the Father had promised to glorify, to honor him, and to restore him to his proper place in heaven, at his right hand, enthroned in his place of glory, reminding the Father that the time has come, I know it's going, I know what's coming next, God, I'm reminding you, I'm trusting you to keep your commitments to me. In the next section, and we do this on a couple of different Sundays, he looked at prayers for the disciples, one of the things that they were going to be experiencing. And here, at the end of our chapter, verses 20 through 26, Jesus is praying for us, for everyone else who, because of the activity of the disciples and the long-lasting effect it has, he prays for everyone who, as it says here, will believe in me through the disciples' word. The means used to bring about faith is always the word of God. It is not possible to get saved without hearing and understanding the message of the gospel. It might be verbal, might be through written literature, might be through a message, might be some other, but the whole point is you have to have a message to hear from God. You have to have an understanding of the functional law of our sin, that we're sinful people. That God has his wrath satisfied by the death of Jesus Christ. As a just God, there's penalties for sin, and God's wrath has to be satisfied by the death of his Son. Because our death is not enough to even pay for the damage done by our own sinfulness, much less to give us any balance forward on our account sheet to open up heaven's doors for us. So the word, the message of the gospel, as we said before, our password here for our FDCOR guest network is repent, believe. That's what we need to do, is hear God's message, realize we need to change, and then trust him by faith. When the Spirit applies the word faith in Christ and redemption in Christ into our hearts, and the word enters in the activity of believers from generation to generation. Verse 20, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Jesus is not praying that everyone would go to the same Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Assembly, Pentecostal, or Covenant Church. When the Bible says that you may be one, this is not what he is talking about. I'm saying because sometimes people say Jesus is praying for the end of denominations, and they have missed the point. They have missed what Jesus is trying to say. He is saying that during his life when he was there, he had come, the Bible says, to glorify the Father, and the Father was going to glorify him as his activities dovetailed with one another as Jesus came to do his Father's wishes, came to do his Father's will. So if you remember that verse, John chapter 10, verse 30, I and my Father are one. Jesus Christ often commented that he had come representing his father, to show the father to people. Sometimes his statements were clearly understood, and some of the Jews in the audience, if they were many, would be accused of blaspheming him or to criticize him for making himself equal with God, because that's what Jesus was doing. He was saying that he was in complete connection with his father, that he didn't do anything except it was by his father's plan or permission, and that his father was pleased about the things that he had done. So when we talk about what Jesus is saying and what he's hoping now for everyone else by extension, during the days that he was in the world, Jesus did the things his father guided and directed him to do under his father's directions and plans. Jesus came to show who the father was, to show the father's compassion, to show the father's message, to show that the father had means for forgiveness and mercy, that sin needed to be judged, and that there was a means to reach the Father and join people in heaven. So when Jesus was in the world, he could do things, he could say things. People said, never did anyone speak like me. When people would come and bring criticism, bring charge, he could do something miraculous to demonstrate that God cared for people. When people tried to manipulate and control him, he could turn the tables on them by asking for the coin whose name was on that, Caesar's, give the Caesar that belongs to him, or he might just draw on the ground and not pay attention to ignore because what people were trying to say was ignorant. So they could learn things just from watching him, and he had just been telling the disciples that he was going to leave. That was on the balance of the discussion those few hours after the Lord's table had been done for the first time, is that he was going to go. That these disciples would be continuing the word that Jesus had done. So now that Jesus has gone, what people will have to notice is not he, but there are the ones he has left behind. He has left us behind. So when Jesus is saying that he is praying that just as he and the Father, and by connection the Holy Spirit, as they are one, by one another, by one in agreement, by one in cooperation, by fulfilling their part in the plan that God has had. When we talk about, again, the theological phrase of the economic relationship of the Trinity, that the Father and Son and Spirit work together in perfect harmony, each one doing their unique aspects under the Father's control. So in the same way, when Jesus has left, his representatives on the earth are now us. And what do people notice? People notice Christians. People notice believers. And I believe what Jesus is saying here, because remember earlier, we had looked at what were disciples supposed to be doing. Remember in chapter 15, Jesus had been pretty plain. The disciples were supposed to be abiding in him. That the disciples were supposed to be practicing love for one another. And the disciples were supposed to be bearing witness in the world. That was their response to the hatred that the world gives us. Is that the disciples would turn and witness to the world. That is our response to all the things the world gives us, is a continued witness. Why? Chapter 16 says that's where the Holy Spirit had come. He had come to lay bare witness, show the way the things, the way things really are. And we have the Holy Spirit's control to be doing the same kinds of things. So we as followers of God should be interacting with each other out of love for one another and love for God. This love can take a lot of forms. It can be encouraging, it can be sacrificing, it could be just a love of commitment, and not leaving someone alone. It could be a call to faithfulness. But just as Father, Son, and Spirit, we're together in the same message, God is calling his disciples that now that I am in you and you are connected with me, you need to live in a committed, balanced, consistent life, because that's what everybody knows. Forgive me for the next picture. But people who are watching us notice when we act in ways that are not consistent with our message. Do you notice that? Picture construction. Upon this rock I will build. Where is the truck parked? this is not something consistent with the Christian message. And Jesus prays that we will all be one. He's praying, telling the disciples again, now, you know they are listening, but he's praying for us, and I think he wants us to catch this. We have a lost world that cannot see God, but they see us. And what they see in us, excuse me, is what they will believe in God. Frequently, you will hear people say, and I think there's truth in this, why is it important how parents and children relate to one another? The Bible tells children to obey parents, but the Bible also tells parents not to lay down a rule situation, a lifestyle, a pattern of expectation that is impossible for them to satisfy. That's why it says parents, fathers, don't exasperate, and fathers probably do it more than moms, don't exasperate your children. Don't tell your children to do one thing and then do something else. You don't expect this from them and then suddenly judge them in a different kind of way. What people see in us, in God's name, since God lives inside of us, is what they will believe. This is what happens with people who follow God. This is why it is so important for us in our conduct and speech to be such that when we talk to one another and those we meet, for our conduct to be such that it is God-honoring and God-pleasing. That your Monday activities, speech, comments, lifestyle are the same as when you go to church on Sunday and sit with your friends. I think this is what Jesus is saying. To continue that, we need to be faithful witnesses then, forgiving, not prosecuting attorneys among ourselves. Jesus tells us we need to have love for one another. God expects our holiness, and we should expect a level of Christian righteousness with each other. But the world notices the way that we act. Notice, this is the connection. I think this is very clearly the connection. Jesus prays for people who would believe in the message left by the disciples, and that we would be one, we would be connected, we would be of the same mind. We would be trying to help, encourage, and build each other, just as the Father is in Jesus, and Jesus in the Father. And we believers, verse 21, I'm still reading, would also be one in us, connected with God's message and purpose. Notice that the world, as we get our title from, that the world may believe that you sent me, but that the world may have a realization, an understanding that there's something special about this Jesus. We need to love each other and work to act in unity, and not necessarily blind obedience. You know, I don't have a list of 10 commandments independently from you today. We have to do just because the pastor doesn't know what this is talking about. But the idea is that people are working together in the same program. Have the same message. We are carrying forward the same front among ourselves and to the world. And the foundation of our relationships is the relationship among the Trinity. This is what Jesus is saying. Look at myself, Father, Son, and Spirit. Look how we're doing. Look how we act together. Look how, even though we are eternal, we are all powerful, we are all knowing, we have all these, we belong with each other. Isn't that a problem with people? You get a little bit of power, but you get a little bit of authority, you get a little bit of control. You have to pull our weight around a little bit. No, you need to do this. How come you didn't do what I told you? How come you didn't check with me first? What are you doing? Who told you to do that? And Jesus is demonstrating, look, among the Trinity, among the three all-powerful ones. We don't act that way. So this is the point that Jesus is trying to make. They're one in essence. We as believers then should be one in mind, effort, and purpose. That's the point. Why are we together? Why are we doing things? That's why I talk about people when just two or three are gathered together. The Bible says Jesus is in the midst, but it doesn't mean that they're a church. Because if we come together as a church, we're coming together with a purpose to function as a church, to carry out the great mission, to practice gifts, to support God's plan of outreach, to practice discipleship. Those are things that the church does to make sure that people get immersed. to demonstrate the discipleship in Christ. We're not the same when we do the things that we should do as Christians. It's not the same as the way the train works along, but Jesus is using this as an example. For example, if we pursue this, God is love. That attribute expresses his essence, that God is, as his nature, a loving, giving individual. So then, as we, the church, demonstrate our oneness in God that we share with other people in loving, not loving, I didn't put the new word, sorry, in loving one another, the oneness of all believers comes to express their foundation and connection with God. When we understand how God is love, and that is how he is our nature, as his nature, then we begin to take on that principle, that tendency in us. When we are in Christ, then Christ is in us. God says, this is our glory. What should make us the happiest? What should cause us to reflect? It's the fact that we understand that we have a connection with Christ. The Father showed himself to the Son, 17:21. Jesus shows himself in the life of believers, 17:22-23. And the fact that we need to be one together in Christ with God is not some esoteric or philosophical teaching. It's how can we interact with each other and interact with other people in such a way that we can make a meaningful, lasting, life-changing, eternity-affecting relationship? It's because we have received the gift of eternal life. Jesus talked about it in 17:2. That must be a vital part of our lives. Stressing our relationship with Christ must be the most important thing about us. We work on perfect coffee, perfect clothes, or perfect children. We decide how perfectly we have met those goals. But Jesus, I believe, is telling us that what we need to be perfect in is our relationship with him. Verse 23, I am them, you and me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. This must be what is central in our lives. It's not to our shame to say as people as disciples. What we need to do is stress the connection we have with God in our own time, in our own minds, so that when you go home and look at the week, you can realize that Sunday wasn't the only time you looked at your Bible. Sunday wasn't the only time you prayed by yourself or with other people. Sunday wasn't the only time you tried to give thanks or encourage someone. Sunday wasn't the only time that you were careful about what you did and what you said and the impression you left on people. Because all of us need to become one flock with one shepherd, chapter 2, verse 16. Genuine faith, the fruit of saving grace, brings us a spiritual nature. And Jesus is saying, it's a spiritual unity. These are spiritual activities that we take place in when we connect with God in such a way that we live out God's life in our own lives, because this is not normal. It is not natural. That's why we use the phrase supernatural to talk about these things. When we show in our lives that we have recently been with the Lord, when we show that our actions and attitudes both fall in line with Jesus' expectations, then Christ shows himself as the source of our spiritual and moral strength. Unless we take the time to emphasize our relationship with Jesus personally, unless we take his, forgive me, Bible stuff seriously, then change, God has changed us, and there's a little bit of life that's going to be shown, and it may not be enough to continue. You've got some fruit, you've got some plants, you've got some things growing, and there's something that we've got someone here that they really kick out the good beans, the good tomatoes, the good apples. The things are really kicking out. Why? Those things that are really focused. You've got them trained, you've got them adjusted, you've got them so that all you have to do is follow on your activities as the master gardener. And the plant is not going to decide not to drink. The plant is not going to decide to move into the shade. The plant is not going to decide to try and grow grapes if it's a tomato plant. But I think God essentially says that his connection among himself God's unity of thought, of action, and relationship is supposed to be demonstrated in us. And that's the thing that the outsiders, the world, notices, is how well do we get along and work with each other. And that we're supposed to be so connected with God that our choices reflect His nature. Moral choices are interconnected with spiritual living. He goes on, O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name. Remember, giving up the name of God is describing everything about Him, His character, His nature, His essence, what God is like. So Jesus, I have shown you what you're like, Father, and I will declare it, that the love which you loved me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus kept stressing it over and over so that they would get it. I mean, He's praying this way, but He's praying one that they're listening. The Son loves the Father. The Father loves the Son. Believers love the Son. So as He keeps talking around in these circles, I mean, Jesus loves believers. The Father loves believers. And when the believers love the Father, Jesus is saying, don't you see that we're connected, that I have a love for them? That love should cause them to love us. Matthew chapter 5, the very simple message we spoke earlier in his life. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. And if you're happy with a snack of righteousness, you would rather feast existence on anything else outside of what God says is truly satisfying, this type of spiritual moral activity and growth is not going to take place. This directly leads to obeying God. They have kept your word, chapter 17, verse 6. When we're connected with Jesus like we should be, we will do what God tells us to do. We will love each other, that they already be one. This is an interconnectedness as well as a centrality on message. And we will be witnessing to the world, that is the impact that the world may believe. For us, we know God's nature. We know who He is. And believe it or not, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 tells us that we are partakers of the divine nature. In other words, this connection that exists between God Himself and us in a difficult to understand but factually true way. You and I, when we trust Christ as Savior, we have some aspect of God's nature, character, attributes added to us. You become someone who, if you will listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, God is holy, you will be holy. If you listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit and focus on what He has said in the words of God, which is God's love, you will be loved. And if we focus on God's words, if we pursue Him, as we riddle the things out of our hearts and our minds, about as God is light, you can become a source of light to the people who are around you. And that's what God is like. And as Jesus prays this prayer and prays about us, the people who will believe in the future, He says, Father, those who are coming afterwards, help them see how closely we work together, how we stay on message. We don't have conflict. We don't have dissension. We don't have despair. Help them together to realize how connected they are with us, and they should be plugged in and be acting like we are. Since love without truth is hypocrisy, and truth without love is brutality, somehow we achieve this by balancing love and truth together. So Christian love will not be boring and not profit the world and we ourselves. Jesus says, what is it that changes the world? And this is the word, my message in the gospel. Why doesn't it make much of a difference, it seems? Because when the world hates us and most of them will not listen, however, there are some the Father will choose, some the Father will select, some the Father will guide. That's what happens when we reach them with the word that God has for us. When we influence the world, that even though they hate us and say bad things about us, they realize that there is something to be jealous about. There is something different about us, something good about us. The disciples write about that whenever, even though they criticize you, they say, listen, they were saved by your good works. But God is actively moving and living within you. And something that's very true about many believers is that God gives us the opportunity to change, to repent, to make a 180-degree turn and be more like Him. And you might say, well, I've tried to not do this. I've tried to talk like this. I've tried to control this. And Jesus in this prayer is saying, I'm glad for that, but when will you actually do it? When will you actually get over the top and realize that in me, because you're connected with me and I am connected with you, you have a spark of the divine nature, and the characteristics that mark God should be the general characteristics that mark you, when will we also learn to obey? When will we also get interconnected with loving other people more than we love ourselves? The things that we would do for ourselves, we would be willing to do for someone else. The things we would obtain and get for ourselves, the way people should treat us, we will treat other people with that same kind of care and concern and love and sometimes sacrificing and giving to them. And somehow, in someone who takes this message and lives this in public, because other people will notice and they'll give me a chance, they'll ask something. And then I gulp and I realize that what God thinks about me is more important than what they think. And I go ahead and give them the truth. So the point is, never give up. I don't know how many times he's tried to get the cheese and has failed, but he has not stopped. And for you and I, God has told us, your printing letters is required among stewards, disciples, to then be found faithful. So the idea is never give up. Persist in listening to the prayer of Jesus. And so often, if you're burned out someone and you pray for them or pray about them, you so often get involved in answering the prayer you just made. Jesus is praying for us, saying that, Father, as we have worked together and we are a group and we build each other up and we stay on message, be with these people, that they would be connected, that they would stay on message, that they would not slide off into other messages that are off message, that they would see that they somehow are connected with us, that they are supposed to be like us, they are supposed to be functioning as we are, because there's a spark of that divine nature that God has given us, not God's, that God has given us a character change, so that we know what we should be acting so that our conscience does not tend to us. And that the world is watching. Not only do our Christian friends watch and see God moving in our midst because we're being people who act out God's love and God's light and God's truth, but also the world notices. You can ask. And the Holy Spirit will take some of them and wait for the word to come from us, that the world may believe that Jesus has been with us. Remember, Herod knew that John the Baptizer was from God, but he didn't mention about it. But at least he had the picture before he killed him. This was a special man. The world may have it out for us. And hopefully, at least, they have the idea that there's something different about these folks. They have been in God's presence. They have been in His influence. And they may not like it or do anything about it, but they should uniformly have the impression that Christian people, believers in Jesus, have an experience that they have not. God, help us to pray to be people who take your message and run with it. Help us to be people who allow your truth to soak in and change our conduct. So that just as we're careful what we do, say, think, meditate on, answer when we come to church, help that kind of concern about, God, what you think of us, to carry out as we walk out the doors. Because, God, this is the sanctuary. You don't live here. You live inside of us. So, God, as you live inside of us, help us to practice all those demonstrations, proofs of the Christian life, so that when we're with our friends, our families, when the car doesn't start, when something breaks, when the schedule has to change, at those moments, we also practice love, joy, peace, long suffering people. gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Help those things to continue to be present in us, because you, our God, are in us and with us. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name, and everyone said, in His time. The thing we like to be is, we like to be in control. We're not. So as we sing this closing song, we'll see both sides of each other. Instead of this thing, God, help us. I don't know how you're going to be working in the world around me in circumstances, but my job is to pass the test. And in the time you put me in the spot you have me, help me to live out your name, your character, and the proof of my salvation with the fruit in these circumstances you put me in your time. Let's sing. To recommit to loving you in such a way that it changes us. Help us not to be like people who've gone to class, who've heard a strange language, who've nodded our head at the professor, who've left at the bell, and go out and don't know how to speak what we have just heard. Help us to take what you yourself say has been planted in us, the divine nature, in some way, in some power, God, you've changed us. Help us to get the Holy Spirit through sway. To demonstrate that you live in us so we can be beneficial and helpful and people can find the love of God in us with each other and that the world can see that the love of God is in us so that we can have an impact on them. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said,